So good morning. It's wonderful to have some visitors here with us this morning. Wonderful to see some familiar faces. It's so awesome to be in the house of the Lord. It's not just another Sunday. It's a special Sunday. Amen. Not just because it's Matthew's birthday, but just because it is a special Sunday. Jesus loves every day, but he loves it when we come together. Amen. Amen. Jesus loves it when we come together like this. This is special. Amen. We don't get this every day. You know, you can do anything else every other day, but you don't get to come to church every day, right? How awesome is that? So the last while, the Lord has been speaking to me about a principle in the Bible called sowing and reaping. Anyone heard the principle of sowing and reaping? Maybe I must be like Hamilton this morning. I need some interaction here, you know, like... Whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. Galatians 6 verse 7. Amen. Whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. And this morning, I want to show you that you have seed in your seed bag this morning. Amen. Because you cannot sow what you don't have. Anyone agree with me? You can only sow what you have been given. Farmers have to go and buy seeds to go and sow and plant seeds in the ground. It doesn't just happen. You have to go buy it. You have to get something to give something. And in the parable of the sower, Jesus calls us to be sowers in his kingdom. Amen. He calls us to be sowers so that he can reap an amazing harvest. Jesus wants a harvest. Would you agree? Jesus wants a harvest in the end times so that he can be glorified. And in John chapter 4, Jesus mentions sowing. In 1 Corinthians 3, Paul also refers to planting, which includes sowing. Any farmer knows this principle of sowing and reaping. If you don't sow, you're not going to reap. Tell someone next to you, if you don't sow, you're not going to reap. Unfortunately, it's a principle of life, and so many times in the modern day world, we just want things for nothing. Isn't that so? I mean, the world we live in is a quick fix world. It's like a microwave world. You know, you everything must happen quickly, and we mustn't put too much effort in for things to happen. Isn't that so? It seems like in the old days, everyone refers back to the old days. It seems like effort was put in to get something, but it seems like the longer the world goes on, the less effort we want for the same reward. The less effort we want to put in for the same reward as our forefathers and our ancestors went. And I heard someone once saying that when we get to heaven, we must make sure that our seed bags are empty. We mustn't get to heaven with a full bag of seed. It was amazing when I heard this person saying this. We must make sure that our seed bags that have seed in are empty when we get to heaven. You see, we've all been given seed to sow, and Jesus said to his disciples in Matthew chapter 10 verse 8, freely you have received, freely give. Amen. Freely you have received, freely give. You have received something. Even this morning, if you've never heard about Jesus, if you've never been to church, if you've never experienced the presence of God, I believe today you received something of the peace of God and the presence of God. But I believe many of us, can I see by show of hands, has anyone here been a Christian less than a month? Less than, let's say, 2 months? Just then. Just one. Anyone else? Anyone been a Christian less than 6 months? Less than a year? Most of us have been a Christian for at least a year. In that year, you have probably been given a lot. Amen. Hopefully you have some seed in your seed bag. Freely you have received, freely give. Anyone know what the Lord said to Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 9? He said, my words I've put in your mouth. Behold, I've put my words into your mouth. Tell someone next to you, God's words in my mouth. God has put his words into your mouth. Amen. If you're a believer here this morning. So the title of my message this morning is Christ is enough for everyone. Christ is enough for everyone. I want to do things a little bit differently this morning. Gerda said we're going to ruffle our feathers this morning. So we're going to have interactive church. We're going to have participative church this morning. So I'm going to show you this morning that you have something to give. You have at least something to give, but actually you have lots to give. I think our seed bags are quite full of seed. Amen. Three things that I believe this morning that you at least can give. You can give much more, but at least you have three things to give if you're a believer here this morning. The first thing that you have to give this morning is the seed of the gospel. What is the gospel? In 1 Corinthians 15, Paul says, I delivered to you first of all that which I also received. I gave you that which I received. I was freely given this, and I'm going to freely give this. That Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Three times in the New Testament, Paul refers to my gospel. He says, it's my gospel. I've made it my own. I've taken ownership of the seed of the gospel in my life, and I live my life to share the gospel. The first thing about the gospel is that Christ died. Christ died for the sins of all of the world. Amen. The second thing is Christ was buried for 3 days. And the third thing is Christ rose from the dead that the world might be saved. The gospel is not law demanding that we pay our own way. The gospel is a welcome announcement declaring that Jesus paid it all. Isn't that good news this morning? So the first thing that you have received this morning, I believe if you're a believer, you have received the seed of the gospel in your life. That's a lot of seed, because the gospel is not just one scripture or two scripts. The gospel is Genesis to Revelation. It's a lot of word, right? But it is important that we convey the gospel in a very simple way, that we can explain it to someone in a few minutes. So if I have to ask you this morning, what would you, if someone ran to you this morning and said, Johan, what must I do to be saved? Philip, what must I do to be saved? Lisa, what must I do to be saved? What are you going to tell them? Like you're not expecting this. You're doing your shopping, or you're in class, or you're doing work, and someone runs up to you and says, like, Jesus is coming back urgently. I need to be saved. What are you going to tell the person? Just think about it for a moment. What are you going to tell that person? And do you have the tools to tell the person what they need to do to be saved? And that's what I want to give to you guys this morning. I want to trust that what Hamilton started last week in our church and in my life again, I got so excited again about the basics of the gospel that today we're gonna give you tools. I'm gonna trust that the Holy Spirit gives you tools today that you can right here when you leave this place this morning, you can lead someone to Jesus. You can at least tell them the gospel. If they don't want to be saved, it's fine, but at least you can tell them the gospel. Amen. Are you excited about that? Because that is our mandate. Our mandate is to reach souls for Jesus. That is why we have church every Sunday. That's why we have Shofar as a movement. Shofar's a movement's vision is to reach nations and generations, to make disciples, raise up leaders, to plant churches. What we're doing here this morning is a church plant. It's a church that's ready to receive the lost and to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. I'm excited about that. That's why I live my life, and I trust that you're living your life not to get money or to have success or to have fame and fortune. I trust that you're living your life to really preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. So when preaching the seed of the gospel, when sharing the seed of the gospel, which you have hopefully received, and maybe you've never been taught the full gospel, then this morning I'm just going to go through four things that you can use when you're doing evangelism, when you're reaching out to someone, or when someone else comes to you and says, like in the book of Acts, what must we do to be saved? Many people in the book of Acts, there was such an anointing of the Spirit that people repented. Just because Peter walked past or Paul walked past, there was such a powerful anointing upon the apostles' lives that people said, what must we do to be saved? Like the jailer. And so the first thing that we need to do when we're sowing the seed of the gospels, we need to explain, number one, is that God is our holy creator and our righteous judge. So you do four things. You start with God, then you go to man, then you go to Christ, and then you go to response that is needed. The gospel has a response, and we'll look at that now. So first of all, you need to show that God is a holy God and he's a righteous judge. And I loved what Benny did this morning. I love what our band is doing every Sunday is they're portraying the gospel. First of all, that God is righteous and God is holy, and we need to bow down to Him in His presence. Amen. And yes, He does call us into His presence. He does say everyone is welcome, but there's a response to the presence of God. There's a very clear response. But first of all, God is a holy God, and God is a righteous judge, and God has life and death in His hands. I mean, He has the keys of life and death. And people need to know that. People need to know that God is God and we are not God. And it's difficult sometimes because it's bad news for people. And it gets even worse. Because then you start focusing on the human condition. You start focusing on man. The second thing is man is rebelled against God by sinning. Man is sinful. Sorry to tell all of us, me included, we're all sinful and we so need God. Amen. But we need to make it clear. We need to make the gospel very clear. I like the seats at the back. They are full of fire there at the back. Thank you, sound desk, AV desk, whatever you guys call yourselves. I think you need to call yourselves a name and put it on the front of the table. Look, it's amazing. Man has rebelled against God by sinning. And it's bad news for people. People need to know that because it's the truth. Amen. But sometimes we just want to say Jesus loves you. You've got a great life ahead of you. No. You need to take up your cross and follow Jesus. Man has rebelled against God by sinning. That is the truth. And then, only then comes the good news. But we want to tell the good news without telling the bad news first. Because how can people experience good news or receive good news if they don't know why they need good news? In fact, you can read that, just go back to that scripture. Christ died for our sins, He was buried, and He rose again. You can tell that as the gospel, and then people can say, but why do I need to believe this? Why did Christ die? I'm fine. I'm not a sinful person. But you need to tell them the full truth is that man has rebelled and Christ paid the price. That's the third one. Christ died and He paid the price that we could not pay. Christ died for us to save us from our sins. And then the last thing is, a response is needed. And there's a biblical response and a non-biblical response. The biblical response is repentance. Amen. In other words, you need to choose to turn away from your sin. You need to put your faith in God. Repentance and belief are the two responses that are needed to the gospel. I'm just going to read some scriptures here that changed my life. I've got a little Bible here that changed my life, and it's the Word of God that told me in Romans 3 verse 10 that I'm not a righteous person because there's no one righteous. I read this Bible, and it said to me that I'm not a righteous man because I thought I was a good person. I really thought I was going to go to heaven. Thought I was fine. Until an evangelist came to our school and told us that if there's no change in your life, there's no Jesus. Has there been a change in your life? An internal change? Because you need a change. You need a change of heart, a change of mind, a change of being. Because you're a sinner. And this is what I realized. And Romans 3 verse 23 confirms that Paul is writing here, and he says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So this morning I want you to memorize these scriptures. I want you to tell people not the bad news that the you telling them they're a sinner. The Bible says that they're sinners. Amen. So memorize these scriptures. So that's what I'm giving you some tools. It's my just basic scriptures called the Romans Road of leading someone to the Lord. It's the seed of the gospel in your life. So remember these scriptures. Write them down. There is none righteous, no, not one, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Every person is a sinner. And I can tell you now, everyone has got a conscience that they're a sinner. I really believe it. Unless your conscience has become so deceived and so hard that you really think you're fine, and there are people like that are maybe beyond salvation. I don't know. I can't judge, but there's some people that are so hard against God that it's difficult for them to get saved. But most people have a conscience that they are not perfect, but guess what? They are looking for perfection. They're looking for glory. People are looking for glory out there. Wouldn't you agree? People are looking for success. They're looking for perfection. They are practicing, sports people are practicing, trying to be perfect and great at what they do. People are looking for perfection, and the only way we're going to find perfection is in Jesus Christ Himself. But everyone has a conscience that they're a sinner. And so it's not difficult to preach the gospel. It's really not difficult. The second scripture that we can remember, or the third one, is that God demonstrates His own love towards us. There's a but God experience. Who has had a but God experience in your life? You can raise your hand if you want to. Who's had a but God experience? In other words, who has been saved? Who's been filled with the Spirit? Who's been touched by God in some way? I love Romans 5 verse 8. It starts with but God. That's the way the good news starts. But God, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Hopefully you've had many but God experiences in your life. Because we're all still sinners and we still need salvation the whole time. We're born again at one day. And I was born again on the 19th of March. I wrote it to the back of this Bible as a reminder. Where's the camera? Zoom in, yeah. 19th of March, 1992, I was born again. I'll never forget that day. I wanted to remember this day for the rest of my life because I was born again. But you think I was fully saved? Definitely not fully saved. But it's a day I'll never forget. I was born again on the 19th of March, 1992. And there's a born again experience. There's a but God experience where he comes into your life and he continues to bring the but gods into your life. Because you need a but God every day, actually. But maybe someone out there is needing the first but God experience where they realize that God loves them, but they are still sinners and they need to have Christ save them. Romans 5 verse 8. And then Romans 6 verse 23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. You see, consequences are a reality of life. Consequences lead to certain, or actions lead to certain consequences. All our actions are going to lead to consequences in some way. There's nothing you do on this earth that's going to just lead to nothing. Everything you do is either going to lead to blessing or cursing, either life or death. And so, yeah, it talks about the consequences of life. It says the wages of sin, in other words, the payment for sin, that there's a payment to be paid. You're going to have to pay for your sins. And you're going to have to try to pay for your sins if Christ doesn't pay for your sins. You're going to have to try to pay. And you know what? You're going to lose every time. But it says the gift of God is eternal life in God. Again, but God, but the gift of God. And so there's two choices, life or death. And that's what people need to know. That is an important scripture when it comes to leading someone to the Lord. And then the last one is Romans 10 verse 9 and 10. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, you believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Confession and repentance ultimately, because that's what confession is. It's to repent, to realize that you're not right, you're bad, you're sinful, you need God. You confess, you repent that Jesus Christ is Lord, that you're not Lord, that you need him. And then you do the second thing by believing in your heart by faith that he rose from the dead, he paid the price, and you surrender to Jesus. I was fortunate or unfortunate, I don't know if it's fortunate or unfortunate, when I made this commitment, I made it in the presence of myself and the Holy Spirit. There was no one else leading me in this prayer. I wish there was someone, to be honest. But there doesn't have to be someone. But most of the time, Jesus does use us to lead other people to Christ. Most of the time, Jesus uses us to lead someone else to the Lord. And how can you lead someone in prayer? Just simply. Remember, this is the first seed. Tell someone next to you, this is the first bag of seed that you have to sow. There's a lot of seed. And it's the seed of the gospel in your own life, and that you can share the seed with other people. So how do you lead someone in prayer? First of all, you acknowledge that the person is a sinner. So you need to acknowledge that you're a sinner. That's what this is now the person, or if it's you, if you're not saved yet today, if you're not born again, then today you can pray this prayer. It's really simple. But you need to, as a sinful person, you need to acknowledge that you're a sinner. That's number one. Secondly, you need to believe that Christ died for your sins. Thirdly, you need to repent of your sins and ask for forgiveness. Then you need to ask God into your life. So you can write this down this morning. I don't want you to just listen. Write this down if you've got something to write. If you want to remember this stuff. Maybe you've never done a teaching on evangelism. Then this is what this morning is about. Then you need to commit to follow Jesus, and you need to thank God for your salvation. You don't have to follow this like a method or a recipe. It's just to make sure that person, when you lead them in prayer, that they know to pray the stuff that the Bible says we must pray. So for instance, I'll pray this prayer now with my eyes open like a good charismatic. Or is it the Baptists that close their eyes in prayer? What did Hamilton say? So I can pray the following prayer, and I can say, let me say I'm leading someone in prayer right now. Then I can say, right, pray this prayer after me. If you're ready to give your life to Jesus, then just pray this prayer after me. And say, Father God, I acknowledge that I'm a sinner. Father God, I thank you that Jesus died for my sins. And today, Lord, I repent of my sins and I ask you for forgiveness. Lord, I ask you to come into my life. I thank you that you've died for me. And I commit, Lord Jesus, to follow you. I commit to give my life for your glory. I commit to follow you in every way. I commit to follow you in my mind, in my heart, with everything that's in me. And Lord, I thank you now that I'm saved. Thank you that I'm born again. Something in that line, as long as the people acknowledge that they're a sinner, because that is so important that they must realize that they cannot save themselves. So many times people pray and say, Lord, I realize today, Lord, that I cannot save myself. I realize that I'm a sinner. Lord, I believe that you're the only one, Jesus, who paid the price for my sins. And Lord, I repent. I turn away of my sins. And Lord, I thank you that you've forgiven me. I ask for forgiveness now. Come into my life. Come and save me. And I commit to follow you. That's the first seed that you can sow in someone's life. You have lots of word, and the teachers amongst us know the Bible off by heart, hopefully. And so you have lots of word to share. In fact, the more word you have in you, the more you should be sharing, isn't that so? But the Bible does say sometimes that we heap up words and we become puffed up with knowledge and we don't love. And if you really love someone, you'll tell them the good news of Jesus. Amen. But sometimes we become puffed up with a lot of knowledge and we don't tell the knowledge and give the knowledge out because our seed bags are getting so heavy. But start to sow the seed of the gospel. Is someone excited here about the gospel of Jesus Christ? It's amazing. It's awesome. The second seed or bag of seed that you have in your life is the seed of your testimony. This is where I want us to practice this morning. So I want you to, just now when I say we're going to share with each other, I want you to find someone that you don't know so well. We're going to get to know each other a little bit this morning. We're going to really get to know each other as a family here this morning. So I want you to, husbands and wives are not allowed to go together. You've got to find someone that you do not know well. If you know them, that's okay, because most of us know each other, but try to find someone at least that you don't know well. Revelation 12 says they overcame him by what? How did they overcome the devil? First of all, by the blood of the Lamb, by the gospel. That's what we've just shared. The one way to overcome the devil is to share the gospel. That's the best way. You know, we many times want to pray, and praying is good, and we must pray. But you know, the best way to overcome the devil is to speak the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. The blood of the Lamb. And you know, the other way to overcome the devil is the power of your testimony. When last did you share your testimony with someone else? When last did you share your salvation testimony? Or your born again testimony? And it says they did not love their lives to the death. You see, people can deny the word of God. People can deny church. People can even deny Jesus. But guess what? People cannot deny you. Isn't that good news this morning? You are sitting there as a living testimony of Jesus Christ. And people can deny everything, but they cannot deny a changed life. And I remember when I got saved, my parents really thought something weird had happened to me. But they couldn't deny that something had happened in my life because I was a shy person. I used to hide away from people. When any person used to come visit us on the farm, I used to hide away. I literally hid away in my room. I was so fearful of people, so scared of people. And when the Holy Spirit touched my life, I became a different person. It's another sermon on its own. He really made me a different person. And my parents were like, "What's happened to you?" But they couldn't deny that something happened in my life. And people can deny everything, but they cannot deny your testimony. Isn't that amazing? It's powerful. A testimony is powerful. So how do you share your testimony? First of all, how your life was before coming to Christ, simply. How was your life before? You see, you got to share how your life was before. You can't just say, "Jesus saved me." Someone wants to know how your life was before came to Christ. You know how my life was? I thought I was a good person. I really did. I thought I was okay. I thought going to church would save me. I thought being a good old Anglican son of God, you know, son of the Anglican Church, or a son in a family who's Anglican, I'd be saved. And I'm not knocking the Anglican Church. I really thought that's what saved me. Until someone told me, Jesus needs to change your life. You need to have an internal change. It's not about how much you go to church, what you do. I thought I was a good person because I hadn't murdered, raped, stolen. I thought I hadn't stolen. Maybe I did. You know, the subtle stealing that kids do. You think it's not stealing. You just think you're entitled to take whatever's not yours. But because I didn't do the big sins, I thought I was fine. And God says, no, you're not fine. Because all have sinned. So you've got to tell the story. And I know my testimony. I wasn't saved from drugs or all of this other stuff. Some people have really been saved from a bad life or hectic Satanism or other worshipping stuff. You've worshipped other gods. I was worshipping God. I just didn't know how to relate to God. I needed a connection with God. Wasn't I was against God. But my testimony can mean something to someone who's going through the same thing. If you got saved from sex, drugs, and rock and roll, your testimony can mean something to someone who's in sex, drugs, and rock and roll. Amen. So how was your life before Christ? And how did you come to Christ? And how has your life been after Christ? Just think about that for a moment. Right, let's break up into groups of two. Find someone that you don't know so well. Okay, so Iri Ray. Very blocked, but I can't escape. Or what to call my find someone that you've never shared. Hopefully, you know the guy's name or the lady's name next year. Has everyone found out who your name is? And at least, because you're not going to talk about other stuff now, we really don't have lots of time. Okay, I want you to share in 2 minutes. Okay, I'm going to time you. Okay, 2 minutes. You need to share how your life was before you came to Christ, how you came to Christ, and how your life has been since. Now, don't share a whole lot of history about where you went to school, all of this stuff. It's going to take too long. Okay. I know some people really want to say they were in Gray College or in Gray High or some school that, you know. Luckily, anyway. So please don't share too much. Remember, you've got to practice sharing your testimony with someone you're sitting next to on a bus or on a plane or wherever you're going to. You haven't got the whole. Okay. Some people have got 8 hours on a bus. That's fine. Then you can share your long testimony. But today you're going to practice sharing your testimony in just 2 minutes. So you've got to think carefully about how your life was before, how you came to Christ, and how your life has been since then. Okay. All right. Are you ready to go? Okay. So we're going to start now. 2 minutes. And then the other person is going to share the same thing in 2 minutes. So listen to the person talking now. Amen. Alrighty, now you must swap around. The other person must share. Hopefully you're finished. 2 minutes, the other person's got to share. Okay, guys, let's continue. I love the excitement. I love the passion. That's awesome. Who's inspired by hearing some stories here this morning? Who's challenged? Don't we serve an amazing God who's able to save even the most lost people? Eh? All of us are. You know, guys, I'm so encouraged. In this room, there is so much power. Do you believe that? In this room, the stories in this room are powerful enough to change the city. And it sounds very idealistic, and I know it probably is, but I believe God can change this community and this city through the power of testimonies. You can use the same method to tell other people about your encounter with the Holy Spirit. So it's good to share your salvation testimony. It's good to share how you got born again. But then what about sharing how you got filled with the Holy Spirit? What changed when the Holy Spirit came into your life? Because for me, it was 9 years later. I got saved, and then 9 years after, an incredible encounter with the Holy Spirit. What about you? What about your baptism? What about when you got baptized in water? What did the Lord say to you? And I want to say this afternoon and every Sunday, guys, I felt the Lord saying on my heart, whether there's no one, it's fine, but every Sunday is Baptism Sunday. Amen. Can I have an amen? We're inviting people. You know, God didn't say make converts. Jesus didn't say in the Great Commission, go and get people saved. He said, go. And what did he say? What is the first thing that the Great Commission says? Go and preach the gospel. And what is the first response? Can I hear? What is the first response in Matthew 28 verse 18? Go into all the world, preach the gospel to preach the gospel to all nations. What is it? What's the first thing? Can I have it louder? Can I have it again? Can I have it again? Baptizing. You know what that means? Water baptism. And I also believe it talks about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but then it says teach all things. But sometimes we want to teach people until they're blue and they still don't get baptized. If people don't want to get baptized, they don't have to get baptized. But I'm saying let us make a plan to have people have a chance to get baptized after every Sunday service. In fact, if someone gets saved in the service, why should they wait for an encounter one or a teaching? We can teach them right here. Because you've been baptized. I mean, you have a testimony. So don't look at me, pastor, you teach them. No, no, no. You guys teach them. Amen. The priesthood of all believers. Every believer is a minister. You see, we need to get out of the church mindset. I mean, where die dominee doen alles. Jy kyk net na die dominee vir jou redding. And that's the lie of the devil. Die dominee gaan jou nie red nie. Ek gaan jou nie red. I'm not going to save you. Jesus is going to save. But you know what? Jesus is your teacher as well. The Holy Spirit is your teacher. And if you desire Him, you can teach others. On baptism, on the Holy Spirit, on salvation. Amen. Guys, we're getting back to basics here. And I believe the Lord has shown me for the rest of this year, for the next term, we're going to just talk about the basics. We're going to talk about salvation again next term in October. We're going to talk about what is salvation. Then we're going to talk about what is the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Then what is the baptism in water? What is it? What is it really? What is the power of it? And then you know what it'll do? When we get the seed bag so full of the power, we're gonna just be exploding with the power of God. The basics. Basics of the gospel. It's so powerful. What about any other testimony that you've received? What about the healing that God gave you? What about the deliverance and the breakthrough? Why are these testimonies being kept to ourselves? Amen. Didn't Hamilton brought such a powerful word? I mean, I'm sure some of us were touched. At least half of us. Yeah, and in our church were touched either last Sunday or the previous Sunday. People got healed. People got encounters with the Spirit. Some fell over. Some didn't fall over because it's not about the falling, okay? And we get so stuck in the falling and then we run away from church because, ooh, people fell over. This is weird. No, it's not weird. Don't let the devil lie to you. Some people fall over. Some don't. It's not about the falling over. It's about the encounter with the Holy Spirit. I didn't have goosebumps or any weird stuff like that. Some people did, and it's not from the devil, it's still from God. But we have a testimony. We have God being real in our lives, and we have a testimony to share. We have seed to sow to the city. Amen. So the first seed that you can sow, the first bag of seed, because it's not one seed, it's lots of seed, is the gospel. The second bag of seed that you have to sow is the seed of your testimony, and you've got many testimonies. Amen. And the last seed that you can sow, and we'll talk about this next term again, is the seed of the supernatural. Listen to what Paul says. He says, my speech and my preaching were with awesome words, amazing teaching, amazing PowerPoint presentations, amazing awesome. No, no, no. Didn't say that. He said, my speech and my preaching were not with human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. And some of us have been hurt by the supernatural, and so you run away from the supernatural. You don't want the power of God. Well, I tell you, it's going to be very difficult to preach the gospel without the power of God. It's very difficult without the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And then he says the following, he says that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men. And how much faith in the day and age that we live in is in the wisdom of men? How many people are running to people for their teaching and their impartation and all that instead of running to the power of God? That your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And guess where that power of God comes? It comes from us telling people there is a power of God available. The supernatural is available. What is the supernatural? I believe it's the anointing from God. First of all, it's the supernatural anointing where you're filled with the Holy Spirit and you preach and you teach and you minister out of an anointing and not out of the intellect. And how does it manifest? It manifests in the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. There's nine mentioned in 1 Corinthians 12. I believe it's not the only gifts of the Spirit. I believe that's not the only manifestation of the power of God. If we limit it to that, we limit God again. But he Paul mentions the nine gifts, and it's the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge. You can divide it into three groups of three in case you haven't had this teaching before. three groups of three, the nine gifts of the Spirit. There's the power gifts, the revelation gifts, and the oral gifts. The oral gifts are the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and prophecy. It's gifts of speaking. I'm getting it wrong now. The revelation gifts are, the oral gifts are prophecy, speaking in tongues, and interpretation of tongues. That's you need your mouth to manifest those gifts. It's oral gifts of the Holy Spirit through speaking. Prophecy, you speak over people, you speak in tongues even and interpret those tongues. I don't have time to do that teaching now, we'll do it next term. Then there's the revelation gifts are the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge and discerning of spirits, where you need the supernatural revelation in your mind of something that happened to someone or is happening to someone or has happened or will happen to someone, the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge and discerning of spirits. You can walk into a building and into a person's life and sense something is not right. You don't know what it is. You're not judging the person. You just feel like we need the gifts of discerning of spirits in our church. But out there we need it. And then there's the power gifts, the gift of healings. There's many types of healings, the gifts of working of miracles and the gift of faith. We need great faith to change the world. Amen. We need working of miracles. We need God to do miracles in our midst. Otherwise, the gospel is going to take long to spread. But you need to desire the gift of the supernatural or the seed of the supernatural. You need to walk in it, and then you need to desire it, then step out in faith and start to let the Holy Spirit move in your life. Just a short testimony. I was praying for a guy. He's in our church. I thought he might be here this morning. I don't think he's here this morning. Came to my office. I prayed for him. And I just felt a word for him. I felt that God is calling him to be like David. And that he's first going to have to fight a bear and a lion. And he's busy fighting some bears and some lions in his life. He's not where David was, like the king and the worshiper and all that. He's still just having to be faithful with the sheep. Tending the sheep. But in order to tend the sheep, God wants you to fight some bears and some lions. So I just shared that with him as I was praying for him. And he says to me, you know what's so amazing? Like a couple of months ago, he was at a Bethel conference somewhere here in the Free State where guys from Bethel came and they gave him the exact same word. I didn't know about this at all. I just felt the Lord saying this to him. And he was so encouraged and so touched by the fact that God is just saying the same thing to him. And he's trying to say to him, listen, yeah, you're not faithful yet with your bear and your lion. So I want to make you like David. I want to make you a worshiper. I want to make you a great man. But you need to be faithful. And it's going to be tough to fight the bear and the lion, but be faithful. And kill the bear and the lion until you get your Goliath. But it's a word, it's a prophecy over his life. It's powerful. It's enough to change someone's life. Imagine how powerful it's going to be for an unbeliever when the Holy Spirit moves. Or for a believer who's maybe just lukewarm, who's maybe just lost their passion for Jesus. Imagine how powerful. In fact, the only way many times is through the supernatural, is through the power of God. Sometimes people's hearts become so hard. We need the seed of the supernatural. We need to walk in the seed or walk in the supernatural to start to sow seeds of the supernatural. And I believe God wants to give it to us, guys. God has given all of us. If you've been filled with the Holy Spirit here this morning, I believe you have much seed. Tell someone next to you, you've got much seed. And I believe God is calling us to just start to empty those seed bags with whoever. Doesn't have to be unbelievers. Doesn't have to be only the lost. But let's just sow our seeds. You know what the good news about this message is this morning is that people's response is not up to us. We need to tell them they need to respond. It's so important that people need to have a choice. You need to choose life. Life or death. It's a choice. It's a response. But you know what? We cannot force people to respond, and we should never do that because then it's a false convert. And I believe there's many false converts in the kingdom because they've followed the pressure of people. It's not the conviction of the Spirit. But I believe God wants us to not look at the response of people, but just to sow seeds. It's the most freeing thing because you know you've done your job. You can put your head on your pillow at night and know you've sowed a seed. You've just been obedient to God by sowing a seed that you haven't. And you know what? It'll grow in due. In fact, many times the response isn't immediate, but I can tell you, that you don't know whose life you're going to impact. by just sowing one seed or two seeds or three. And you know, someone else might sow another seed. And Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 3, he says, you know what? It doesn't matter who's sowing and who's reaping. It's about God who gives the increase. And God is the one who gives new life. But as long as we sow, because we've been called to sow, and sometimes we've been called to reap, sometimes we've got to plant, it's hard work, it's not easy. And some seeds will maybe die. The parable of the sower says that there's four types of soils, only 25% is going to have a harvest. But that's okay. Does that mean we must stop sowing? The less we sow, the less that 25% will be. It might still be 25%, but there'll be less. You know what I mean? Percentage-wise or numbers-wise, it's going to be much less if we don't sow. Does that mean only 25% of people hearing will respond? Maybe it is like that. Maybe that's how heaven's going to look. I don't know. Hope not. But that was Jesus' parable. As when the word is sown, not everyone is going to respond. Not everyone's going to believe immediately. But does that mean that we shouldn't sow? I don't believe so. I believe we must sow. Why? Because the gospel is powerful. Amen. The gospel is the power unto salvation. That's what Paul writes. Secondly, your testimony is powerful. It's real. It's a life changed. And what's ultimately the most powerful is the supernatural. God is all powerful. When God uses you to intervene in someone's life without you really knowing, you were just there, you just laid hands, you were just the person not doing the healing, but just believing for healing with someone, you know what? It's God's power. And I believe each one of us have been placed in a sphere of influence. Each one has been placed where we can affect someone else. We can sow seeds that lives can be touched. And he's excited about you this morning. I want to tell you, he's excited about you because he's given you a seed. And Jesus became the ultimate seed. Jesus was the seed that had to die and be buried in the ground for 3 days, and he rose again. And look at the harvest we are sitting with today. So many believers all over the world. 2,000 years later, because of the faithfulness of the seed that was ultimately sown, the seed of all seeds, Jesus himself, was sown into the ground, died. And you are a testimony. You're a trophy. I love what Pastor Heinrich, our leader of Shofar, says. You know, we trophies of his grace. We trophies of salvation. If you believe here today, you're a trophy of Jesus Christ's faithfulness. Nothing else. Not your own good doing, your own good works, the church you went to. You're faithful because he is faithful and he was faithful. And I want us to close our eyes this morning as the band comes forward. And I want to tell you this morning that you have so much to sow. Don't let the devil lie to you and say to you, you don't have anything to sow. You have lots to sow. But maybe this morning you want the seed of the gospel planted in your life afresh again. Maybe you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit this morning. Maybe you realize, you know what, Alistair, the supernatural thing, yo, I'm struggling. I want to walk in the power of God because I'm trying to persuade people with good stuff and with my good life and trying to live a good life and trying to do all the right things, and it's so tiring you out. And the Lord is saying this morning, just let go. Let go and let me do it through your life. But you need to trust me. You need to surrender to me. You need to believe in me. And maybe even this morning, the Lord wants to give you a testimony afresh. He wants to change your life again. So I want every eye to be closed in this place this morning. And if you're a believer, just pray. I want to ask you this morning. Maybe you shared your testimony this morning and you just realize, you know what? I don't have a testimony. I've never committed my life to Jesus. I don't know everyone here. I don't know everyone's story. I just know there's an opportunity right now. If you need to make right with Jesus, if you feel like you've backslidden, if you feel like you've walked away, Jesus isn't your first love anymore, and you want to just make right with him right now as we talk about testimonies, I don't want to leave this place and stop the service without you having an opportunity to give your life to Jesus Christ. So that's the first group of people. You need to just give your life to Jesus Christ afresh. You need to come back to your first love and say, Jesus, here's my life. I'm sorry. I know about you and I knew you one day. And at one stage, I was so passionate about you, but Lord, I've lost my fire. I want that back again. If that's you, then I'm going to give an opportunity. Second group of people, if you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, Because I walked with Jesus without being filled with the Holy Spirit, and I never witnessed to one person. I didn't have a passion. I knew I'm safe, I'm fine, and I don't care about everyone else. But the Holy Spirit gave me a compassion for people. He made me a different person. And I wish someone had told me about the Holy Spirit when I was at school, because I had opportunities at school. But I was so shy, I could never testify, I could never witness. And maybe this morning you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, filled with the power of God, the fire of God, the presence of God, the person of Jesus Christ himself. It's not just about your salvation. The Holy Spirit is about others around you. Jesus wants to impact others around you, and he's only going to do that through his Spirit. So maybe this morning you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. You want to touch from God afresh again, then this morning is for you. And if you want to be baptized in water, I want to ask you to speak to me. I'd love to take you to our swimming pool and baptize you, but you need to give your life to Jesus. Maybe you just want an encounter with the Lord. Maybe you just want a touch from God this morning. Then this morning is about you, because your seed is powerful. Amen. It's enough to change at least one other life. So is there anyone that wants to respond this morning? Just put up your hand wherever you are. If the Lord is speaking to you, you need to respond to the power of and the presence and the voice of the Lord this morning. Just be obedient. Is there anyone like that? Either you want to give your life to Jesus, you want to just surrender to the Holy Spirit again, or you want a fresh anointing to be a seed sower this morning. If there's anyone here, just raise your hand. Don't be shy. Is there anyone like that? The Lord is speaking to you. Don't be shy. Just raise your hand.